Com.
Yo, yo, America, how you doing? Everybody else, welcome to the party outside of the borders. Kate Delaney, America tonight, hanging out with all of you. That's what happens when you make a crappy cup of coffee and you have to remake it. It's too strong. It's that Starbucks, sorry, they're not a sponsor, awful dark coffee. I swear I'm going to open a coffee shop and make a decent cup of coffee that I can sell to all of you, because I'm always in search of the very best coffee I can get, and I never can seem to get my hands on it. I'm a big fan of Wawa. Of course, that's only in the Northeast, and we have our satellite facility in Texas. If you know any good coffee, send me a link to it at americatonight.net. So serious about that. Well, we have the Boston Bomber's body that still is hanging out at the funeral home because nobody wants to bury this body and claim it to for their cemetery. The uncle is claiming the body, but there's no place to bury Tamerlan Tsarnaev. And that's made for some interesting discussion around Boston. There's been a ton of protests and whatnot. We also have what I think is one of the more horrific stories I've heard. Imagine you're a bride-to-be. You're a month away from your wedding. You're going a little bachelorette thing. You're 31. Wow, man of your dreams. Isn't this great? You're with eight friends in a limo. You're going over a major bridge in San Francisco. The limo catches on fire. The bride and four in the wedding party die. The other four make it out, and so does the driver. Could have started in the trunk. Something could have ignited. They're investigating what happened, but there's no word on what it was that triggered this nasty fire, really practically exploding the limousine, which it's amazing that five people got out of it. But how sad to have to make those phone calls to those families and those other girls to be there watching as this car is burning and they can't do anything about it. They can't do anything about it. Oof. Should we do something about Syria or not? Stay on the sidelines and offer advice here and there. Now Democrats and Republicans think that we're much closer to giving guns to the rebels than ever. Because when you have lots of Dems and lots of Republicans agreeing on something, you really are getting close. Because of Israel's recent airstrikes on Syria and Assad's air defense system showing that it's not impenetrable, they're suggesting to come up with a no-fly zone over Syria. Israel launched its second airstrike in 3 days in Damascus. They were actually aiming for a shipload of guided Iranian-made missiles that were headed for a militant group. That's why they tried to hit it. So now Israel's is seriously involved in this. 70,000 people have died. Assad's been accused of using Scud missiles and chemical weapons against his own people in this whole uprising. And remember, we keep going back to this, but the president said the red line is the chemical weapons. That's it. They can't cross the red line. But he didn't say, you cross the red line and we're going to do X, Y, Z. He didn't say that. He just said that was it. But we haven't had anything going on with Syria other than humanitarian aid, dumping stuff through planes, and money to rebel forces for defensive military equipment. Chuck Hagel, our defense secretary, said that we're reconsidering arming the rebel folks. And the problem, I think, is who are the rebels? Who are we giving guns to? Whew, we got to get rid of Assad. All right, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Islamic terrorist possibilities. You seem like you're okay, but we really don't know much about you. I mean, how are we determining what the rebel groups are that we should be giving guns to? John McCain is hot on this thing. He says we need a game-changing action. To which I ask all of you, Do we need a game-changing action in Syria? You make the call. It's your money, my money. We're the taxpayers. Is this something we want to be invested in? What do you think? McCain says the U.S. should establish a safe zone and give weapons to the right people, but repeated that American soldiers shouldn't enter the country. Okay, so he's saying no boots on the ground, and everybody's saying no boots on the ground because they're afraid to say that. But weapons to the right people. There is a problem with this. Who are the right people? And who gets blamed if the wrong people get the weapons? The CIA? Somebody else? Patrick Leahy is also on board. He says that Syria's Russian-made air defense system was not as solid as they thought, and says the U.S. has to be doing it. We have to be getting closer. We've got to do it. The idea of getting weapons in, if we know the right people to get them to, is that's what we'll do. We'll give them. So I want to know who the right people are. Does anyone know who the right people are in Syria? I mean, I say that sarcastically, but I have a pretty good source at the Pentagon. They don't know who the right people are. Who are the right people? Who are we giving the weapons to? And then there's others who think we should have done something a long time ago, that we have to arm the opposition. We should have done it a long time ago, and we should have imposed a no-fly zone. But we waited, we waited, we waited, and this thing has gotten worse. So is it too much carnage and too awful for us not to be involved in this? Am I wasting my breath by saying, really, should we be in the middle of this Syria mess? Should we be meddling in it? Playing that game of who gets the guns? And then I'll be on this talk show, or you'll be listening to other people on talk shows 10 years from now, 5 years from now, saying, can you believe so-and-so and what they're doing in Syria? Can you believe what's happened there? The radicalization of so many people or whatever. Unless, of course, we know who the good guys are. Who are the good guys? The right people. That's like the worst word ever to use. If I were the publicist or the wordsmith for John McCain, I would strike that from his vocabulary. The right people. Okay, the right. If we can find the right people, I guess, then we give them, you know, we give them the guns. All right, speaking of guns, the right people, the wrong people. Benghazi and the conversation about what happened and how the administration reacted to it is far, far, far from over. In fact, this upcoming Wednesday, there is a big hearing on the Hill, the House Oversight and Government Affairs Committee. And there are three so-called whistleblowers who are going to expose some things that are supposedly mind-blowing, shocking. If that billing is correct, then everybody's going to be focused on that. Because what's going to be so shocking? That the reports were scrubbed up, that there were words that weren't used, that should have been used. What is it that we don't know that would make a huge difference in the outcome with the whole Benghazi thing? Stay with us on the flip side. We're talking about that on America Tonight.
Prepared against possible food shortages and economic collapse is not complicated. Just remember two words, disaster, stuff. Add.com after those two words and you've got just one site for all your preparedness needs. DisasterStuff.com prepares your family against food shortages with Linden Farms freeze-dried foods in buckets or Gourmet Reserves freeze-dried food in number 10 cans, both with free shipping. Purify and rid your water of contaminants with a Big Berkey or other Berkey system and get free shipping, plus a water level spigot or fluoride filter at cost. And protect your radios and other electronics from EMPs with our EMP Faraday bags, starting at just $5.90. When the food shortages and economic instability happens, be ready with all your stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Just remember two words, DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it, with what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts. If you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You can do that. 855-266-5283. Again, in case you missed the numbers, 855-266-5283. America Tonight, Kate Delaney. Happy that it's not snowing where any of my friends or family live, and probably where most of you live. It's starting to warm up, I think. I don't want to say that for sure. Tomas is listening to us in the great state of Michigan. Hey, Tomas.
Hey, you know, I would like to just go back to what you started the show off with, Iron Man. And, you know, I think it's just awesome the way Robert Downey Jr. has come back from the dead. And I'm talking literal dead. He was one step, just one trigger finger away from blowing his head off numerous times.
Yes, you know? He was. Yeah, he was. So, and he was spiraling in a drug world, and he just could not get himself straight. And now he has had major hits with Iron Man, and people love him in Hollywood and elsewhere. He's just a regular guy, is from what everybody says. But how huge is that he came all the way back?
Really, and you know, a lot of the young people that are going to the movies now don't know. They just don't know. This guy was arrested twice.
Yeah.
You know, with cocaine coming out of his ears and a gun in his hand. Twice.
Oh, yeah.
And it was almost, you know, like from 1995 to 2005, almost 10 years where he was just, you know, hanging on by a thread. And now, And, you know, he's made, you know, everybody just connects him with Iron Man. But to me, the changing point was when he did that movie Tropic Thunder. Remember that?
Oh, it was hilarious, yeah.
I mean, he played a white man as a black man, then coming out back as a white man in Vietnam and talking to a black man. That is incredible. You know?
I thought it was incredible, too. Yeah, he's funny. I mean, he definitely has that timing, that sense of humor. You can completely see it, no doubt about it. And he has a big warm spot in his heart for other people who are going through things like he has. He's helped other people in various situations, and he loves the stories of comebacks, and he tries to do whatever he can to help other people. Because you're right, he had 1 foot, maybe 2 feet in the grave. He barely made it.
Yeah, you got to get him on the show, right?
I know. You know what? He would be a good guest. It would take me a while to do it, but I could pitch it because I think he'd be interesting. It'd be interesting to talk to him about his big bounce back. You're right.
Yeah, because he makes movies, but he has walked the walk.
He has. He has.
He was in jail. He was in prison.
Yeah.
You know? So he's got to tell. Anyway, Kate, have a great week, and have a good night.
All right, you too. Robert Downey Jr. in Iron Man 3, I saw it. It was great. He just hits the mark with this character. But I think Tomas is right. There are other things that he was really good in, too, in the Tropic Thunder movie. I guess I have a strange sense of humor. I'm like, Tomas, I really like that movie. I think I've seen it probably 4 or 5 times, you know, at least. And I bet at first when he came back, and it was hard for him to get insured because of all the problems he had had. And they worry about that on movie sets because they're afraid if somebody's a little shaky, they don't want to be responsible for what could happen. Pete in the great state of Texas. Hello, Pete.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you doing? How's your weekend?
Oh, I just worked.
Oh, you just worked, so. Yeah. Work. Yeah.
Well,
I know.
It's getting to be pontoon weather, though, out here in Texas. Now, I had an ironic thought.
Mm-hmm.
How this is ironic. Do you think salesman years could pass an extensive background?
Do I think who could do an extensive background? Say that again.
Do you think that Obama could pass an extensive background check?
No. One that wasn't conducted by the CIA. But here's the thing, that you have to have a background check to be in the Senate before the whole president thing. You have to pass one to be in the Senate. I think the downfall now that's happening with this presidency is that they said they were going to be transparent, and that's not what's happening, because even the Democrats are saying that. It's not just Republican beat-ups. They're not just throwing verbal bombs at them. What's happened is, like this Benghazi thing, all the Democrats are fleeing because they see that the report was changed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the pot is being stirred.
It is. I mean, if a report is changed and people are going to come forward and say, oh, my gosh, you know, I was threatened with my job. I was intimidated. Listen, I couldn't say anything. That three people, let's see what they say on Wednesday, but three people are going to say that's what happened here, and they don't want to take the blame for it, and that's why they're coming forward.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're scattering like rats on a ship now.
Exactly. Exactly. So all the things that were said, some of them had to have been true. They didn't want to have that in there. They didn't want to say that it was an Al Qaeda threat. That it was they were doing it on purpose to symbolize September 11th, and that they knew Ambassador Stevens knew he was in trouble, and they didn't do anything about it.
Yeah, and the documentation is the key.
Yep. And they have all these emails. They have 43 pages in this report. Like I said, this is why the Democrats, three major Democrats, are saying, no, there's something wrong here, because they don't want to be pinned as, how can you say there's nothing wrong when we've got it right here in black and white and we have people testifying?
Yeah, and if you were talking about whose side we need to take, there's a book that I read quite regularly that says we... if we want to stay in God's good graces, we need to back the Israelis.
Well, yeah, and well, the Israelis are going after Syria here a little bit, but yeah, absolutely. We can't bail on Israel, and there, you see what's happening with Iran trying to pump a weapon through. That's why Israel was after that one target, because they knew it, and they know the dangers of Iran.
Oh yeah, and the Israelis are mean bunch of fudge.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They're not going to take any. They're not going to take any nonsense. Absolutely, you're 100% right, Pita.
Pita.
Yeah, they're hardcore.
Yeah. Well, that's all I got, Pole Princess.
When you say Pole Princess, you know, people are really conjuring up other thoughts. They don't know what that means. We'll have to explain. Pole Princess means that I'm fond of looking at all the different polls. After all, people are making millions of dollars putting these polls together. And sometimes I think there's truth that is woven in between what we read about anything. Whether it's a political issue, whether it's something else that's going on bullying or whatever. But a lot of times it has to do with something that's coming up that might be voted on in the Senate or in Congress or both chambers or whatever, rectifying that, you know, how they have to do that in a bill. So that's why he's calling me the Pole Princess, because I say that. I say I am the Pole Princess. I'll tell you what, I mentioned the story about the bride-to-be who was killed in that limo fire and how awful that was. I think really second to that in the category of how does this happen, and it's just so shocking and it just must be awful, awful for the family, is this Utah soccer referee who was punched by a player and he died. He was a 17-year-old, and the player was a 17-year-old in a rec league, and he punched Ricardo Portilla of Salt Lake City, 46-year-old soccer referee. And it happened during a game, and he slipped into a coma, and he died. He died. He was treated. They couldn't do anything for him, and they haven't released the name of the kid. But he had swelling in his brain. He was in critical condition, and there wasn't anything that they could do. And I think the family's just in complete shock. I think the whole league. I think Salt Lake City. They're talking about it, and how awful it is that you know. That this kid hit him, he was upset because he got yellow carded. He was upset and he slammed the referee. And then look what happened. He was playing a goalie during the game, and he got the card for pushing an opposing forward trying to score a goal. And once a yellow card is given as a warning to a player, as you all know, for a violation of the rules, that's you're on thin ice, because two mean a red card and then you're expelled from the game. So, wow. This has got to be one of the saddest stories. He has a family, and Harry was just reffing a game, a rec game, no less. All right, the people in Boston, their theme song is catching on elsewhere. We're talking about it next in a re-rack.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Man, I love that buttstock pouch on your Mosin Nagant. Where'd you get it?
Strike Hard Gear. They have lots of hard-to-find gear for us comm block shooters, like chest rigs and pouches for your SKS Duckbill magazine.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Plus, a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. Enter GCN for a 5% discount on all products at StrikeHardGear.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Very pleased to welcome back to the show somebody that really sparked a lot of reaction here on America Tonight. Dr. David Ogberg is in the wings. He is a healthcare policy analyst for the National Center for Public Policy Research, and he was a Washington correspondent for Investors Business Daily, and of course specialized in healthcare and Medicare. So one of the things that now has happened, and something that we're going to talk about tonight on America Tonight, is the fact that looking at Obamacare, it looks like there's some missing deadlines. Of course, we've seen some missing deadlines. So what does that tell us? What does that show us? It doesn't inspire a lot of faith, certainly, but actually, what does it mean in terms of your health care and mine? Doctor, thanks for coming back on the show, and what should we read into the missing deadlines?
Well, thanks for having me back on. I think what you should read into it is probably another sign that Obamacare is imploding. Basically, what this refers to, and it's an article that I had on the American Spectator this morning, which is just at spectator.org, and you can also see it through our National Center's website. We have links to it there at nationalcenter.org. It refers to the Independent Payment Advisory Board, and some of your listeners might also know this. It was referred to by Sarah Palin and others as the death panel, and it's basically the board that is under Obamacare that is supposed to cut Medicare spending whenever Medicare's actual rate of growth exceeds certain targets, target rates of growth that are set up under Obamacare. Okay. Well, Basically, tomorrow, April 30th, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services are supposed to actually do that analysis as to whether or not, or present that analysis on whether or not Medicare's growth rate has for 2015 will exceed the target, and it's supposed to give that analysis to IPAP. The problem is there's no IPAP.
they haven't come up with a panel, right?
Pardon?
Yeah, they haven't come up with a committee yet, right?
No, President Obama basically hasn't nominated anyone yet to be on IPAP, even though he's had over 3 years to do it. And I think the basic fact is that the Obama administration, and frankly, no politician with any common sense wants to endure, you know, what is a likely public relations fiasco of having to defend IPAP.
Yeah, absolutely. And how crazy, because they have to produce, as you're talking about, that proposal to reduce, and you wrote about it, the Medicare spending. And so what draft? There is no draft. It certainly, if you know how it is when you form a committee, yeah, I'm sure you've been on some, I've been on some. This is already May, and that's supposed to be due by September 1st. So certainly you can only imagine that deadline is going to come and go, wouldn't you think?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. I mean, if they're off, they're kind of off the IPAP is, or well, this non-existent IPAP is off the hook if CMS says, look, you know, in 2015 we don't project that the Medicare growth rate will exceed the target, in which case they're off the hook. But at this point, they don't know that. And so if they find out that, yes, indeed, the growth rate will exceed the target, then IPAP is supposed to produce a draft proposal on how to, you know, reduce Medicare spending by September 1st of this year. It gives that to the Secretary of Health and Human Services. And then its final proposal, it's supposed to give to Congress and the President January 15th of next year. But, you know, look, I mean, first of all, you know, the first deadline's coming in 4 months. The president would have to put forward the nominations. The Senate has to confirm. So that, of course, means, you know, hearings and votes. And then, you know, the IPAP is going to have to put together a proposal. I mean, that usually can't really be done in 4 months. And even with the deadline coming up in January, that's barely 8 months. I mean, it's hard to do that even in 8 months. And again, I think it's just because, you know, there is a big PR fiasco to be had by trying to defend this panel. And I think the Obama administration wants to avoid that. And I think they're hoping they can run out the clock. They're hoping that Medicare's expenditures are not going to exceed the target rates until after 2016, when it will no longer be President Obama's headache.
Yeah. You know, if people listening to you, Doc, right now, the thing that they're thinking is, oh, my gosh, Medicare, Medicaid, what does that mean to me? Should I be worried about it? What should I, you know, despite the stuff that we're talking about now with this independent payment advisory board, they're also thinking about, well, how is this all rolling out for me in the future? And what would you say to somebody who's concerned? What should they do? Is there anything you can do to counteract what might be something that's barely affordable, or who knows where we're headed with all of this?
Well, the first thing you're going to have to do is look around for cheaper alternatives in healthcare is simply one, and because you're going to see, be at least in the next couple of years, costs going up a lot, at least in private health insurance. The other is in, and I need to kind of, you know, since I'm we're part of a 501c3 nonprofit here, I got to be kind of careful about talking about elections. But with regard to 2014 and future elections, just use your common sense and bring your concerns to bear.
Yeah, when you know, because you know what it comes down to. It's like when affordable health care, which was initially the bill that then turned into the law, when it first was discussed several years ago, you remember that there were all those town hall meetings and a lot of Congress people and senators held them, and people were confused, and the thing they wanted to know was the cost. But besides the cost, the thing that really I want to know, and you've got the bird's eye view, is how is this going to affect our care, the kind of care we get in this country. I mean, I know some wonderful doctors, but I also know some doctors who are bailing out of the business because they just don't want to be caught in this rigmarole of what's happening. So they're at the point where they can retire and do something else. They're actually going to make a career change. And I think that doesn't bode well. Do you think that more people that are in the healthcare industry may take that option?
I would suspect many of them would. When you look at surveys that are done on what frustrates physicians the most, oftentimes it's dealing with regulations, whether they come from a Medicare or Medicaid, or whether they come from insurance companies. And Obamacare is just one big, massive pile of regulations, and doctors get frustrated with that because, they'd rather spend time on patients and not dealing with paperwork. And I think Obamacare is only going to increase the latter. And I think you'll see a lot of good physicians get out early if they can.
Yeah.
And then you get into the question, well, what kinds of people are going to be attracted to an industry that becomes so heavily dominated by paperwork, so heavily dominated by regulations, that's going to have an impact on quality as well. One of the other big problems with Obamacare, and that this is especially, I think, the case with IPAP, is you're taking a lot of decisions and you're putting them into the hands of people who pay very little, if any, cost for being wrong. As opposed to leaving them in the hands of the decisions in the hands of patients who, do pay the cost for if the choice they make is wrong, with either more pain or maybe the ultimate cost of dying. But once you put the decisions into the hands of bureaucrats and politicians who seldom pay any cost for being wrong, what kind of decisions are you going to get when you pay no cost for being wrong? It's not a setup for really decisions that lead to good outcomes.
Yeah. Along those same lines, last one, would it have been better? I mean, hey, look, if there could be some reform in health care, Republicans have suggested it. Democrats in the past have had a couple of decent ideas, but of course there's never a quorum with all of this. And so do you think part of that is also not enough health care people on the ground are involved in this, and not just people in general, not more polling of people, those town hall meetings before the fact, that kind of stuff. If you were re-racking that, would you see that as the better way to go?
Better way to go which way? I'm sorry.
Meaning before you're going to make any kind of legislation, really look at the people who are affected by it and have them involved in a lot of the committees. In other words, more doctors on the ground level. There were some doctors involved, but more people involved in saying this is what's really happening. So when you go and you're trying to make a law, here's the reality of how that affects us in a hospital or a healthcare system or us as patients. Because I think that's what's happened here, obviously.
Yeah, I'm have no problem with legislators trying to get as much input as they can before they make policy. But I think it goes a little bit beyond that. I believe one of the things that we need to do with our healthcare system is that we need to pay more of the costs directly. We need to be more consumers, and it doesn't just that doesn't just mean that you pay out of pocket. It may also mean that the insurance company cuts you. Your insurance company cuts you a check for bigger expenses, say when you need a knee replacement or something like that. And I think because of the way employer-based insurance is set up, Medicare and Medicaid are set up, we have become very accustomed to this third-party payment system where we don't really have to think about the price of health care that we receive. We don't have to think about, you know, do I need this health care? Do I not need it? And, you know, that has the effect of not pushing providers to compete on price and to compete on quality and to, you know, find ways to please patients at the same time driving down costs.
Dr. Hartwig, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
It's time to get real.
It's time to prepare.
Economic collapse.
Social unrest.
Natural disasters.
Government takeover.
UN takeover.
Are you ready?
Ready?
Ready? Get ready at the Social Prepper Trade Show in Dalton, Georgia.
June 6th, 7th, and 8th.
3 massive days to learn self-reliance and emergency preparedness. Exhibitors ranging from survival, solar, power, food, protection, guns, ammo, disaster preparation products, hunting, and much more. Seminars by Dr. Wallach, Robert Henry, Raymond Blake Hogshead, Trish Deer, Sandy Hall, Rick Austin, Survivor Jane, and more of our nation's experts on survival and preparedness.
Don't miss the Social Prepper Trade Show,
June 6th through 8th, Dalton, Georgia. For discount tickets, prize raffle, and info, go to socialprepper.com.
Enter code GCN for 50% online ticket discount purchase.
The Social Prepper Trade Show,
presented in part by GCN.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see 3 great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135 and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood-use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
I must have dreamed a thousand dreams. Been haunted by a million screams. But I can hear the marching feet. They're moving into the street. Now, did you read the news today? They say the danger's down our way. But I can see the fire still alight.
People apologize. So media critic Howard Kurtz is in the spotlight here for a few moments on America Tonight in our final turn on this straightaway to the top of this hour of the show. Media critic Kurtz is pretty opinionated, writes some good stuff. I don't agree with everything he writes. Some of it I like, some of it I don't like. He's apologizing because he made a bunch of mistakes in a column he wrote about basketball player Jason Collins this past week. Collins was huge in the news because it came out about being gay. And Kurtz had a couple of people actually on his show because guess what his show is called on CNN, if you don't know it. It's called Reliable Sources. So he had two other media critics on the show to question him about the story that he wrote on the Daily Beast suggesting Collins had hidden a previous engagement to a woman when he came out as gay in the Sports Illustrated story the other week. But he had talked about the engagement, so he was completely wrong on that. He had talked about it a long time ago. And he says that he was not only wrong on the facts, but he shouldn't have written the story in the first place and was too slow to correct himself. How about that? And I have to say, he said, I want to build trust with the viewers. And so he said, please consider my entire career, not some of the blunders on this story that I was quick to pull the trigger on. So how about that? I'm going to give him a little applause for that. The newspaper, they really screw up badly. You know, they mess something up that changes the story, and then they have the retraction, but it's so little and it's in the back of the newspaper. I still read the newspaper. Does anyone else out there read the newspaper? I see like three hands going up, my special infrared glasses. I think like if you commute and you're on a train or something, you still like the idea of the print, even though, yes, we all have our iPhones and our iPads, and it's easy to pop up and read that way, but it's killing our eyes since everything we read is from a screen, and that gets old. You get tired of looking at the screen. I don't know what the answer to that is either, by the way. So Kurt saying that was probably smart anyway on his part. it makes him look good either way. It has to, right? It has to make him look a little bit better. Because he knows this, whoa, I was rushing to do this story. And there were some things that were coming out that were dubious, that were wrong about Collins. And because of the rush to hurry up and get it done, I think for a lot of people, they were jumping on it since it was such a big story. You know, that's sometimes what happens. Immigration, now in light of some of the things that have happened, what happened in Boston, I think, is certainly one of them. Sarnaev brothers and their little reign on terror with the pressure cooker bombs, and we won't re-rack every timeline on that, but we know what happened there, right? And then the fact that two of the people caught up with them, two friends, are tied up in an immigration problem, and we see time and time again when something happens, maybe there's somebody that we're living in America, but then there's other people connected or other people who have tried to harm us in some way who have expired visas. This, to me, this is the huge problem. The glaring problem is the student visas. So now we're pushing for this immigration reform, and Congress returns this week. Senate legislation has a massive amount of committee work to do. They call it the markup. They'll mark it up and then try to negotiate. The House will try to negotiate their own bill. Because remember, the two chambers, there's the House, the Senate, they have to rectify the bill, and then boom, it becomes a solid bill. Then it goes to the president, becomes a law. If he signs it, you know, I don't have to explain how a law is made. But senators in both parties are filing hundreds of amendments. Hundreds, literally. They're flying around like fish jumping up river in the middle of salmon season. I mean, it's just crazy. So they're filing all these amendments to what was initially the Gang of Eight overhaul. And this is already an 844-page bill. 844. So it really is red pens, too, when they say they do the markup. It's like a teacher with red pens all over. they took the piece of legislation with them when they went on a congressional recess. And there is some serious opposition to these concessions from people like Marco Rubio, who said the bill likely couldn't pass the House and may need to be changed even to clear the Senate. So I think it's all the unintended things that get into the middle of these bills. Didn't we already go through this, that we were shredding so many amendments in any kind of legislation? Because this is what people don't see, and this is why some of the stuff takes so long. I don't know that immigration goes through. I mean, immigration may be the best hope for Obama to get a major piece of legislation through in the second term, but I don't think this is going to be the layup that everybody thought it was going to be. I don't think so. This week, Obama discussed immigration briefly. He did that heading out onto the road, so he's already done that. And he told the group of Latin American folks that he visited with, Hispanic leaders, I'll say he's going to Latin America, the Hispanic leaders that he talked to, the president told the group he would sign the Senate bill in its current form, and he was hoping that it would be prioritized, the passage of the bill, over pushing for changes to smaller policy things that they could address. Because, see, that's, people forget that. It's about, man, I got my foot on the gas. Let's push this through. And then we can agonize over it later and pull things out. But you know the danger of that. You have something pass, and then sometimes you have a hard time pulling things out of it. And this may be the case with this work of art. How do you read it, the 844 pages? I mean, that's mind-boggling. We keep saying the same thing over and over again. Enhanced border security. But we don't do it. What are we doing? We have done a few things, but this is what's been said for decades. Create an agricultural guest worker program. Overhaul the legal immigration system. Provide a pathway to citizenship. I mean, those are hollow words to me, unless you've got some really facts behind them that they're voting on, that they're talking about. Okay, how do we intend to have this happen? What are the costs of this that are tagged to this that we know? Of course, they're not going to be 100% right, but what do we know the variables are that it could cause from this to this? And, you know, that's part of the problem before we get to anything else. And this whole provisional legal status to undocumented immigrants before the border security is fully implemented, what they're calling the benchmarks, how do you enforce that? I think that would be confusing. And not everybody likes them. The America's Voice Education Fund says that the border security measures are tough and too excessive. So there's going to be people that are opposed to this. There's people that are for, there's people that are opposed to it. And some Hispanic groups think these are way out of bounds, too. Way out of bounds. Wow. I don't see anything happening here. I don't think we see this even go through by the end of the year. I don't see it. I would predict that. I can look into the crystal ball and say, I don't think they're going to seal a deal here. I seriously doubt it. Any thoughts on the show, send them to me, americatonight.net.
gardeners. Here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables, and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.